Welcome to the 120th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee, and today, all the way from Ann Arbor, Michigan, it's Mark Davis!
Here I am, like Kevin Nash, not to be confused with Steve Nash.
No. I don't even remember how we started talking about them. Oh, we were talking about Slim Jims playing. And Slim Jim commercials. Yes.
A little pre-record banter.
Right, Kevin Nash, not really hitting the same notes as Macho Man Randy Savage when recording a Slim Jim commercial. We're talking about that because we're talking about food with our man, Skylar Dennison, joining us once again. Welcome, Skylar.
Hello.
You might remember him, listeners, from all the way back in January of this year, 2020, episode 81, Fermented Seed.
Was the name of that. Classic name for an episode, I feel. I'll take those honors.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you're back again. Back again. Thanks for joining us.
I beg to be here.
No, we've been wanting you to come on for a while, and we're happy you're here. Last time you were on, you were doing a pop-up at Nice Guys, where Mark hosts trivia on Wednesdays, called Home Base every Monday.
Yes.
But that has, I don't know if it's morphed or if that just became something entirely new, but you have a hit food truck here in town now in Southwest Florida, Death by Taco.
Yes.
It's true.
It's true.
It's true.
You're telling all truths.
Yes. You're open on Mondays for dinner time.
Yes.
And Thursdays and Fridays for lunch.
Yes, always. That's our regular schedule, plus all the other random bits here and there throughout the week.
The typical food truck traveling around town that kind of thing for different events. It is it's a fixture. It's a weekly stop for us on Mondays. We have Death by Taco for dinner. It's really quite special. Mark, you had one of the specials this week. I think you got the last plate of cochinita pibil ribs, right?
I did. I it's funny because I was planning on going there, and they open at 4. I was like, 5:30, no problem, no sweat. Maybe I'll get two orders. And I came in, and Tieran was like, we have one more order. And I was like, holy shit. So I snagged them up, and they were, like everything else, absolutely amazing. I'm just never not blown away.
Yeah, you guys it's a small menu, relatively small, but you have a lot of like different cool stuff going on. It's almost like it seems small, but it's not.
Yeah, I mean, oh man, it's not as small as I feel anymore.
Yeah,
I feel like we have like 8 house tacos now, plus a bunch of traditional. Then we have like 6-7 other menu items, plus a different special.
Yeah.
Always rotating throughout the week. Every Monday, birria, and then different other random things here and there. Blah, blah, blah.
Elotes,
yeah.
What's the pumpkin seed?
It's Sikkil Pak.
Sikkil Pak.
Yes.
Pak. Yeah.
My love child. I love that. Absolutely love that stuff.
It's like not quite guacamole, not quite hummus. It's something else entirely.
It's its own thing. It's one of those things I always tell people, I'll try to tell you what's in it and what it tastes like, and you'll say, that doesn't sound interesting at all. And then you taste it, and you're like, I really like that thing.
Yes.
It's very interesting. It's got like cinnamon and green chilies, roasted pumpkin seeds, tomatillos, all these things that you wouldn't think work well together, and then they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
One of our players' favorite requests that when we take player requests is always discontinued fast food items, like on Twitch, whether we do it on Twitch or live. What kind of questions do you want? Oh, give us like fast food menu items that are no longer around, trivia about that. And you really relish in that as a food entrepreneur.
I steal all my ideas.
Yeah, you make high quality versions of some fast food favorites that have disappeared.
Well, I just really like nostalgia. Everyone loves nostalgia. That's what makes food amazing, is nostalgia. So no matter how amazing or bad the food is, you learn to love it because you always eat it in a good space. You know, it reminds you of a good time, good place, so on and so on. So yeah.
What's one of your favorite clone items or your resurrection items, I might say, because you like bring them back from the dead?
Yeah, so I've done a few. I would say I love the take on the spicy potato taco.
Yeah, what's the name of that again?
For Whom the Bell Tolls.
For Whom the Bell Tolls. Perfect. Yeah. Yes. Rest in peace, Taco Bell potatoes.
It doesn't matter how miserable I am and busy and sweating and gross and slammed and I'm working, if someone puts in an order for Whom the Bell Tolls, as soon as I'm like scooping potatoes to fry, I am always like, Whom the Bell Tolls.
Yeah, that riff starts playing in your mind.
Time matches. Haunts me.
Yep. And I had the compromise today, which was like a double-decker style taco.
Oh, yep.
Very good. I wanted to ask you one more thing. Nachos wise, we were trying to make some dinner the other night in the house, and I suggested, why don't you make a plate of nachos? And Kyle's like, I would make nachos, but we just have Skylar's nachos every week and they're so perfect. Like, I just know that I will be disappointed with what I make. And Wednesday is, I can't remember if it's national or international nacho day. We'll just say international. Why not? Even if it's just national, just celebrate all over the world on Wednesday. And I was wondering if you might share some nacho tips, since you do make such amazing nachos. How do you upgrade your nachos when you're making them at home? What are some tips you share?
All right. So speaking of resurrecting fast food, a lot of what I've learned from making nachos, I learned from my years working at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay.
I stole a couple things from them. The big
BW3,
the B-dubs, you know, the Buffalo Wild Wings and Weck. Yeah.
Teach us the ways.
Now, their nachos overall, as far as quality goes, is crap. Don't get me wrong. But the structure was beautiful. It was great. And over the years, we're getting mini sports bars. You get what? You get chips with like leathery cheese, just like a cloth of cheese on top. Just all sticks together.
Turns
and then
into a mega chip.
Some black hard olives, you know, and random crap on top. So the key really is
one tablespoon of guacamole.
Yeah. So the good thing to nachos is, first off, don't be skimpy. Mm-hmm. You want every chip to be fully loaded. The biggest thing is layering. Mm-hmm. You don't want a big mound of nachos where you just load everything on top, stick it in the oven. You want thin layers.
Right. Almost like a lasagna mentality.
Yeah. You want low and wide.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Low and wide. Yep. You do a little thin thing of chips. You want smooth queso. You want smooth beans. You want a little smoother, refried beans. You don't want a glops on there. You want a drizzle.
Right.
You know, same thing with the meat.
Smooth beans was my nickname in high school.
I remember that. It was written all over the bathroom wall.
Smooth beans. What's up, smooth beans? Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, layers of the ooey gooey stuff, you know, and then everything on top is the fresh stuff.
And never microwave?
No, never microwave.
Yeah, always oven.
You don't even need an oven to make good nachos. You need queso, you need some like nice smooth refried beans, some hot protein or no protein, you know. And then all the nice stuff on top, the stuff that you want to keep fresh, the crema or sour cream, the salsas, the cilantro, the pickled onions, all the fresh. Oh.
Has anybody ever thought of tossing nachos?
I mean, it's kind of done, I guess, like chiliquila is like kind of thing. That's like nachos tossed in salsas and, you know, I guess that's kind of similar, you know?
But it's different than nachos.
Yeah.
It's its own thing.
Me and Greg once. Greg, infamous from Nice Guys Pizza, tossing French fries in nacho cheese sauce. Thinking, well, you dip fries in nacho cheese sauce. What if you tossed? No, wings. It was wings. Chicken wings. Yeah, that didn't work out.
Whoa. Yeah.
So that's not
you guys
like
are
nachos.
Living on the fringe, yeah. Sounds yeah. like.
That's not, that is not nachos
at all.
This
is what goes on.
I don't know.
In
I
get, the
if you
kitchen at Nice Guys.
If you were to fully toss a tortilla chip in something heavy like queso, it would just completely collapse.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah. Now, Skylar, let me run an idea by you. I know that you have an in with Greg, and I had mentioned this to him before, and it should be noted that I've had an idea or two that have been made into pieces at Nice Guys. So I want to float this idea by the two of you, but more so Skylar, because he's the food connoisseur. So when Greg had the infamous meatloaf pizza, he mentioned wanting to keep the crispy onions around. So I floated this idea by him, and I want to see how you feel about it. Green bean casserole pizza.
I already like it.
Cream of mushroom base with mozzarella on top, and then a thin cut green bean with some delicious fried onions on top.
I can see that working. It sounds delicious.
Yes.
I think that it's, I think it's something that Greg should really consider. I think it would be very good. You know, the French green beans, the
this could happen
slaw-esque. I think it should.
Thanksgiving is right around the corner.
It is. Hey,
pop that bad boy on before you're
Greg will take every idea you give him, and he will nod politely that he loves it, even if he hates it, and you might never hear of it again. But in 3-4 months, you might see it pop back up.
Skylar, I'll remind you, the last time that you were on our podcast, just 1 week later, The Secret of the Booze, an idea that was generated on the podcast, jumped into reality. Yeah. So you never know.
I mean, I did make that Tom Collins, too, named after you guys.
Yep.
And that, no nonsense. Mm-hmm.
So I love this this green bean casserole pizza idea, Mark. I just love it. Great idea.
I appreciate it. Thank
you. Hey, maybe a green bean casserole taco. I can work with that.
Ooh, daddy.
Yes.
Oh, I see. He's stroking the beard.
I'll take both for you. The ideas are going. All right.
Yeah.
Skylar, any menu previews coming up for Death by Taco? Anything that you want to just shout out to be on the lookout for?
Yeah. So actually something I was working on today, nothing crazy. This is like, I mean, I hope it's good, but you know, nothing mind bending, but there is something in the works that involves a condiment, that, Mark tends to like a lot. That might make its way into a masa folded item.
I'm gonna guess that would be ranch.
I do love ranch.
Is it ranch?
I am a fan.
It might be something similar, maybe a maybe a tangy mayonnaise based herb forward dressing.
Herb
forward dressing. Tangy herb forward dressing. That's what ranch. Cool. So you got a ranch item coming.
Maybe.
Okay. All right. Holding his cards close to his chest. Do you want to share some categories with us? I know you brought some questions. You want to give us a little, just a slight little preview of your of the quiz categories you brought?
Yeah. Basically, like one about music and a bunch about food.
Hell yeah. We love music questions here.
Well, I guess I'll go a little bit more in depth.
Okay.
Or in depth. Sorry. Snacks.
All right, that's the food question, or maybe it's a music question. I don't know.
Okay.
Snap a new Slim Jim. Yeah,
90s alternative rock.
Nice.
70s TV.
Ooh, 70s TV.
And
that one I do not feel great
horse
about.
Horse questions.
And what? Forest questions?
Did horse.
Horse?
I have a horse question.
A horse question. I just wrote a horse trivia question for Monday night at Palace. We'll get to that in a little bit, though. So that's, I hope it's the same question. That would be amazing.
I highly doubt it.
Mark, you're going to be kicking off our quiz this episode. Do you have any hot topics for us to suss?
Beers. People from back in the day. Fish.
Back in the day people. Nice.
Olympics.
Did you say fish?
I did. Not the band.
Damn. Oh, I have a sea creature question for you. That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Crossover. I wonder if it's the same one.
It just happens to be
and,
the same.
We're waiting.
And pop culture words. I don't know how to print it. I don't know how to put it, but pop I got some goodies. Words.
So like buzzwords, that kind of thing?
Words popular that appear slang? In pop culture.
Okay.
It's kind of hard. It's kind of convoluted.
Interesting.
Definitions, I guess.
Well, I have some questions for you guys about superstitions, famous brothers, animated series, competitions, and as I mentioned, sea creatures, animals. Record-setting animals.
Damn.
I don't know if yours has anything to do with record-setting animals, Mark.
Nope.
Oh, not this. Damn. I'm it just waiting not. For this crossover question. When we copy each other unknowingly. It's going to happen, day. I swear. That's when we'll stop. When that happens, that'll be the last question.
The final episode.
Oh, there it is. But not until then. Okay,
it's
well,
gonna be
before we get to our quiz, I'm happy that's not happening today, by the way. But before we get to our quiz, how about we do our weekly wrap-up?
All right.
And it's all me this week, baby.
I was going to say, don't ask me. Don't ask me. I was on a flight.
Yes. And thanks for popping into the Nice Guys. Thanks for asking me, first of all, to host Nice Guys in your absence, the sixth anniversary, nonetheless, of Nice Guys Pizza Trivia. And thanks for popping into the Zoom. I saw you caught a little bit of it.
Yeah, I was on Mike and Abby's team, playing a little bit with them.
Cool.
Popped on to say hey.
Very good. So you know that we had 12 teams competing in the 6th anniversary of Nice Guys Pizza Trivia. The overall victor for the evening was Whiskey Tango, participating via Zoom with 72 points, narrowly beating out Abby, Mike, and yourself, and Proverbial Lightkeeper Matt. Those were the top three teams. But Seth was our on-site points leader with 59 points total. So congratulations to Seth, and thanks to everybody who came out and did my first live trivia back since March. Yeah.
How did it feel?
I got everything set up, and I was like winded in 5 minutes. I was like, what is it? It's question three.
What's this outside air? Yeah. It's so thick.
Yeah. But, you know, it was once I got back into the groove, it felt good, you know, and it was good to see so many people hanging out outside and, you know, everybody was abiding by the social distancing rules. And I think everybody had a great time, too.
Good.
I certainly did. And then on Thursday on Twitch, we had our busiest night since July with 30 players competing in our weekly general knowledge quizzes. Thank you to Tara O Comics, Mr. Bradley Pierce from Quiz Kit, Ice Cream Party 89, Uzziness, and What's Up Scotty 123 for following our Twitch channel this week. And thank you so much to prior guest John Lewis for his 6 month tier one subscription there. For Quiz 83, H-Bomb and Friends secured the victory with the fifth highest score on record for the month of October, 151,316 points. 316, give me a hell yeah! Whiskey Tango DC, just 2,000 points shy of matching H-Bomb. And Baja Men Tribute Band followed. That would be Alex.
Hell yeah.
Followed in third place for that quiz. The trivia gods looked favorably towards Whiskey Tango for quiz number 84 as they won their third quiz of ours this week overall, if you count the Nice Guys victory, the prior victory. Very impressive. It would have been a true turkey if H-Bomb hadn't executed the combo breaker in quiz 83. 134,449 points to Whiskey Tango DC there. Alex and Magic City, Mo Nonsense, rounding out the top three. And our audio round for the evening was Name the Horror Film, based on an audio clip. Pokemon Fan 12332 bested the group, earning 47,656 points, with Whiskey Tango and Magic City Mo not too far behind there as well. If you want to play No Nonsense Trivia live, you can do so this week. Tonight, Monday, October 19th, we return to the Palace Pub and Wine Bar for live trivia. You can get some Death by Taco right across the street beforehand, carry it over, and play trivia with me, yours truly. I'll be asking questions about 80s horror movies, 90s television shows, books and authors, sea creatures. Yet again, another sea creatures question. We're going to take... It's a different one, though. Different one than the podcast. So don't think you're getting any freebies here. Musical instruments, baseball, and more. Just find the link in the description of this episode or on our Facebook page for that. And of course, you can play No Nonsense Trivia on Twitch at a regularly scheduled time of Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. I'll be asking questions about early television, discontinued McDonald's menu items, modern NFL, 90s hip-hop, The Simpsons, and more. We will have a cartoon theme song identification audio round as well. You can visit twitch.tv/no-nonsense-trivia and give us a follow to get a reminder for that. Make sure you give us a follow there and on social media as well to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us, won't you? Yeah.
Wow. That was great.
I don't know what happened there. Let's take a break, and then we're going to come back, and you've got our first question for us, right?
Hell yeah. Thank you.
All right, we're back. Mark, if you wouldn't mind doing the honors and kicking us off with some trivia.
Yeah, here you go. Here's a question about beer. The original beer widget used to control a canned beer's head was patented by what beer company?
You said canned beer's head.
Yes.
Are
you familiar with the idea of the widget?
I know it's a type of machine. I know that George Jetson makes them.
Well, I'm 100.
No, those are sprockets.
I mean, I can definitely easily think of the first beer company to make it mainstream. Like, even the first time I ever heard of it.
Schlitz?
No, it's
no,
it's something. It's a device that makes the beer like you're get like a nitrogen like Guinness pour mm-hmm. on a tap.
Yeah,
you know, normally you get the CO2. It's real bubbly. Blah blah blah. This you open the beer. It causes this widget to kind of let go a burst of nitrogen so that when you pour it, it's nice and frothy. I'm going to go right off the cuff and say that it's Guinness.
Okay.
Just because I remember the rollout. I remember it being a huge deal. But I might be wrong. It might be like Tetley's or even Boddington's, because that's another like English European beer company that also had the widget. So
Boddington's has like a little ball that rolls around in it, right?
Yeah, so does the original, like the Guinness cans.
Oh, okay.
It does the exact same thing.
I see.
So the question is, did Guinness develop it? Mm-hmm. Who's a huge, you know, one of the biggest brewers in the world.
Right.
So they got the money for it.
Mm-hmm.
Was it, you know, Boddington's, who I think is actually might even be owned by Guinness. I'm going to go with Guinness.
Let's do it. Yeah. Guinness.
Guinness is correct. Good job.
All right.
Yeah.
So, funny fact about beer and cans and, you know, developing things. Sam Adams Beer Company spent, I can throw any number out there because I don't know, but they spent an insane amount of money, like millions of dollars developing. They always said that they would never put their beer in cans. And cans became overwhelmingly the most popular choice. So they said, all right, we got to do it. So they're like, but how can
we'll never make a Blu-ray, but HD like, DVD forever.
Yeah. They're like, so how can I make our canned beer the best, though? Like, what can we make different? So they spent millions of dollars developing a can. And if you look at the top of a Sam Adams brand can, they have like a taller lip on the top of their can. So it causes more pressure, essentially. So when you open the can, it's a louder like crack, like that noise, because your mind, when you hear that noise, have it be a soda or a beer, it just sends this thing through you where you're just, I mean, it causes, you know, your receptors to just go off and crave it. So they engineered a beer that had a louder, like, crack.
Wow.
Just for the sake of being like, so when people hear that, they look over, they're like, what's that guy drinking? And boom. Yep. You got a Sam Adams in your hand.
This is, really uncomfortable right now. Getting some They Live vibes. Like, I'm Keith David and you're Roddy Piper going, put the glasses on, consume, obey.
It has this thing where it causes your pee-pee to get hard when you hear that crack.
It's whatever the opposite of the brown note is.
There's a term for it.
All right, I have a superstitions question for you. Superstitions. Often depicted holding a scepter, what card in a traditional 52-card deck is considered to be unlucky in trick-taking games such as hearts?
How familiar are you with hearts there, Mark?
I'm not very at all.
I am not at all either. I know solitaire and free cell.
I do know that the one-eyed jack, I think, tends to be an unlucky card.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the suicide king, but I don't think he's holding a scepter because he has a sword.
Yeah, I don't know. You're so much more well-versed. It's been so long since I've really been even remotely involved with playing cards. I can't even think of, is there a queen in there? An ace? I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Well, I mean, if it's a character holding a scepter, it has to be a face card, right?
Oh, okay, yeah. So
it's got to be a jack, a queen, or a king. It can't be a 2 through 10 or an ace. It could be a queen. I'm just trying to think of like famous, like known cards. Do you mind cards.
If I hear the question one more time?
Sure. Often depicted.
No, I mind.
He just wants to go. He hears it one. He's a one and done.
That's it.
You know what's funny is on Wednesday, Seth. Somebody commented like, it's so strange. He's playing by himself. He always has such a big team with him on Wednesdays. And I'm like, we know him as a solo player, you know?
Right.
And of course he won. It's hilarious. Anyways, here's the question one more time. Often depicted holding a scepter, what card in a traditional 52 card deck is considered to be unlucky in trick taking games such as hearts?
Honestly, right off the bat, the only face card I can think of that I can imagine in my head holding, you know, a knife or a dagger or something is the king.
Is that what a scepter is? Know.
Right? Is that what you mean by scepter? Like a sharp object?
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know what the fuck a scepter is, I guess. If it's a sharp object, then it's a suicide king.
Probably no, a scepter not. Is just like a staff.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Well, staff is like a stick, right?
Yeah, it's like a big wand.
Yeah, but it's not like a dagger. It's a
is it like a Donatello, you know?
It's thing? Got like a jewel.
No, you know, it's more like a Leonardo.
Smaller
than a Donatello,
okay.
Bigger
I'm
than a
idiot.
Twig.
I'm an idiot. I get it. Then maybe Jack. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
I mean, it might be. So, I mean, it could just be like a like Queen of Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something like that, or like Jack of Clubs or whatever, but, you know, you've got Suicide King, One-Eyed Jack, Queen of Hearts. Playing with a Queen of Hearts. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Keep me away from you. There's that song. I wish I knew the lyrics because maybe it says some shit. Could be the Queen of Hearts. I mean, it is in Hearts.
I'm going to kind of
I would say it's either
going to
be the One-Eyed Jack or the Queen of Heart.
You've looked at more cards in the last few months than I have, so I'm going to go with what you think. I'm going to put this on you.
I guess we'll go with Queen of Hearts.
I'm sorry. It's not. You're close. It's the Queen of Spades. The Queen of Spades. So in Hearts, whoever ends up with the Queen of Spades earns 13 points, and you get points for collecting hearts, and you get points 13 of them for collecting the Queen of Spades. Unless you're dealt the Queen of Spades and you can take all of the hearts as well. So if you can get all the bad cards, everybody else takes 26 points. So you get double the penalty. So if you can pull that off, it's called Shooting the Moon. In a variant of seven-card stud that's called The Bitch, when the Queen of Spades is revealed, the entire deal is abandoned. Like, if she comes out face up in the what is it? What's the term? Not the river. Not the turn. What's the...
You're asking
in poker.
The flop?
Which card?
No, just the flop. That's, the flop's all, the first, that's all the cards that
no,
come
the flop's
out at
the
beginning.
First three, right?
Yeah, yeah. So if the Queen of Spades comes out during the flop, the entire hand is abandoned in that variant of seven card stud. It's also often chose to represent the old maid if you're playing old maid with a traditional deck of cards.
I remember old maid, but not with traditional cards.
Yeah, but it's not all bad, though. In Pinochle, the Queen of Spades, along with the Jack of Diamonds, form the titular card pairing, Pinochle. And double Pinochle is the best you can do in that game besides having all face cards or aces. So there are some games where the Queen of Spades does have a benefit. And in Cartomancy, the Queen of Spades is thought to represent intelligence. So if you're doing a tarot with a traditional deck of cards, that is a card associated with intelligence.
Okay.
Skylar, do you have a question for us?
I do. All right, let's see here. Forgive me on the wording. I wrote this on the fluzai. This might be a little softball too, but we'll start off right off the bat with some 90s alternative rock here.
Okay. That's good. This is in our wheelhouse.
All right. So, Take Me Down was the only song on Melancholy and Infinite Sadness by the Smashing Pumpkins that was not written by Billy Corgan. What other member wrote it? It's kind of easy. There's only three to choose from, right? Huh?
Mm-hmm. So we have James Iha, Darcy, and Jimmy Chamberlain, who were the band members at the time. Kind of the core group lineup.
True.
Not the lineup for Core by Stone Temple Pilots. Different band entirely.
Right. James Iha is my guess.
Yeah, I think he was kind of like, he's known to be, at that time, like he wanted to kind of emerge as a songwriter in the group, right? And William Patrick Corgan was kind of holding him back a little bit. Isn't that kind of the story?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I could see Jimmy Chamberlain or Darcy writing a song too, though. But
are you familiar with that song? Can you think of it in your head? It's very pretty. It's great.
Take Me Down.
Yeah. Just that real like whimsical. Sounds like a little lullaby. I don't know. It's so great.
Oh, it's like, take me down.
Keep it going.
Take me down.
That's it.
Sleep. Let me take you down because I'm going to.
Strawberry.
Let's go with James Iha.
Yeah, we're going to go with James Iha.
You got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Good deal. You know, so I got to check out that song again because I do not remember
it. The main reason why I know that is because I had recently, for Father's Day, my sister got me that album on vinyl, and it's beautiful. I mean, it's four records and the book, and it came with just a history of the album. It's great. I remember as I was listening to the album, just reading through it, and that track I always loved, and I read that little tidbit, and I was like, that's the only song not by Corgan. It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah. Nice trivia.
Yeah. Thanks. Even though you got it right. Not that nice.
That doesn't mean that the question's bad. The question can be good. that's in Mark and I's wheelhouse, you know? So we have an advantage.
All right. Here's my second question of the first round. Taught by Aristotle from age 13 to 16, who was the first person to have his image impressed on coinage?
Wow, first person ever to have their impression.
That's the impression that I get.
Printed on coinage.
That's going to be noisy.
No idea.
Aristotle's student was Plato, right? No. Socrates' student was Plato.
I'm bad with all of those guys. Mm. I didn't hang with any of them.
Yeah.
I guess that's a pretty big feat to put a person on a coin.
Yeah.
Like, that's an important person. The first coin to have a person on it.
I just found out some trivia recently that Jack Black is a coin collector. He did like a local interview in Fort Myers with the local news when he was promoting Goosebumps with one of our local reporters who's covered our trivia before, Jessica Alpern. And he revealed that he was a coin collector, and she asked him what his favorite coin that he owns is. And he said it was a penny that had, they only printed it for 1 year, and they stopped printing it because it had an image of a woman whose hair was flowing in the breeze. And it was considered to be salacious at the time to have a woman's hair flowing in the breeze.
Wow.
So he has this, I can't remember the year. It was like 19th century, maybe 1800, somewhere in there. And, but yeah, he said that's his favorite coin. But yeah, I didn't know that Jack Black was a coin collector. I thought he was joking when he said it. Like, she's like, what are some of your hobbies? He's like, coin collecting.
sorry to throw another shout out to him, but Greg from Nice Guys, he's a coin collector.
Really?
Yeah. Anytime I come across a weird coin, like especially through the bar, I'm like, put this aside for him. He's always like, whoa. Yeah, he's into that.
It's funny. Cool. It's funny that people now are like, coin. You can't wear a skirt that's too short because it'll like, you know, keep the boys from learning. That back then it was like, you can't have your hair flowing because No one will be able to pay attention. No flowing hair allowed.
Was Aristotle's student Socrates?
I don't know. I'm not good with like philosophers and stuff. I'm horrible about it.
I always see that's the thing. Like,
it seems like your realm.
Socrates and Plato are philosophers, but Aristotle was a philosopher, but I think he also was just a hard scientist as well.
Weren't most of them though?
Rock hard.
Like it took philosophy, you know, for you to like even think outside the box like that and be like, what's space?
I think the answer just jumped in my brain.
What's that?
Mark wants us to start thinking about all these scientists and stuff.
Oh, Mark knows what he's doing.
Because Aristotle is lecturing at the university and he's talking and all these smart motherfuckers are hanging out.
Drop it, Lee.
Yep. They're hanging out, listening to him. And we're trying to think of like all these like motherfuckers, Pythagoras and Socrates and Plato. But who is getting the best education and who is going to have their face printed on a coin
other than the great one? Tell me.
Alejandro Jodorowsky, the great. Alexander the Great is what I mean. Alexander the Great, I think, is who the answer is. Mark, do you, Skylar, do you feel okay about that?
I felt you.
Mark, Alexander the Great is our answer.
That's correct.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, there you go, buddy.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
For three short years, he was taught.
I feel good about that.
Yeah, he was taught for 3 years by Aristotle. Socrates, yes, was also his student, but it was Alexander the Great.
I was just like, people hated Socrates. They would not put him on a coin. Like, who wants to be reminded of this asshole always telling us to question everything?
Yeah.
You think you're so smart? That's all I see when I look at this penny. This pence. Who's next? Who's next?
You.
Goldberg. Who's next? That was his tagline, the wrestler. Anyways.
You know a lot about wrestling.
I do. I used to watch from like 98 to 2002.
That was when I was in high school. So were you.
That was the best era. Yeah, okay. I mean, that's everybody's best era, I think, when you're in high school. that's the best era of wrestling.
My life has never been better since high school, so yeah.
All right, famous brothers. Don't worry, it's not a wrestling question, but I have a famous brothers question for you. This is actually a music question. You guys know Musical Brothers?
A little bit.
I'm one.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, you're part of a pair of musical brothers. Yes. You and Sean.
Yeah.
We talked about your prosody and melody songwriting contributions the last episode.
Yeah, Sean was involved a lot, yeah.
And how he brought the Dan Marino theme to the group.
That will haunt Mark Davis forever.
I loved it. I Mark's Dan Marino song is so good because it's
which one was it?
Trivia song.
Which one was it?
Dan Marino. Oh yeah, I don't know the lyrics.
His arm is ballistic. He was born.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Well, I remember. Yeah, you just took a Wikipedia line.
Yes, literally all.
I think I actually wrote a very sad song about how he was so great, but he never won a Super Bowl ring, and I made it really sad.
And your brother who took it there. brought that up didn't write a song at all.
No, but remember Rodney wrote that song "Die Dan Die" and it was so good.
Yeah.
And Ace Ventura.
Rodney is so good in general.
It's very good. Yes.
Famous brothers.
All right, go ahead.
Fraternal twin brothers Chuck and John Panozzo formed the rhythm section of what Chicago-based rock group who released 4 multi-platinum albums between the years 1977 and 1981? I'll read it one more time for you guys.
Yeah.
Fraternal twin brothers Chuck and John Panozzo formed the rhythm section of what Chicago-based rock group who released 4 multi-platinum albums between 1977 and 1981?
My phone is ringing. Hold on.
We'll just wait. Yeah.
Was it a water main break? No,
so, first of all, this is my second hotel room. You can keep this in if you want. This is my second hotel room. The first hotel room I got My room number was 420, which is awesome.
Hell yeah.
Weed here is recreationally legal. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah.
And when I was coming up to my room, I was like, it kind of smells like weed.
You're the popular room.
And I just got a call saying, on the second floor, we're getting some complaints about a strong marijuana odor. We're just calling all the rooms and letting everyone know and reminding everyone that this is a no smoking hotel. And I was like, yeah, okay.
Very nice of them. Yeah. Very nice of them. Just be like, light up, bitches. I'm
about to hunt this room down.
You know you're calling room 420, right? Oh!
This is room 420. We blazing
well,
it
here.
Well,
I'm in 230 now. No, my room is now 230.
I was hoping they transferred you to 69.
Would have been nice.
Fraternal twin brothers Chuck and John Panozzo formed the rhythm section of what 69? What Chicago-based rock group? I can't get it off my mind now. What Chicago-based rock group who released four multi-platinum albums between 1977 and 1981?
So, Mark, I cannot think of any Chicago-based artist from that time frame. Maybe Chicago? Is this a trick question?
Chicago was the first band that came to my mind, dude. I mean, I'm sure there are many. But I mean, the 70s, like, that was Chicago's, I think, right in their time period, like 25 or 6 to 4, Saturday in the Park. ...1977 is also punk rock. Let me see here. MC5, they're from Detroit. Rick and John, you said?
Chuck and John Panozzo. They form the rhythm section, bass and drums, respectively.
Okay. I figured brothers, bass, and drums gotta be.
As so often is the case.
Me and my brother.
Yep. I was gonna say that's the Denison pairing.
Huh.
I mean, we can go with Chicago.
I honestly can't think of any other bands, especially from that time frame, from that area.
We're going to say Chicago.
Besides, you know, let's go to Chicago.
Wrong. No, I'm sorry. That's incorrect. The correct answer is Styx. Styx.
Are they from Chicago?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Though Styx technically debuted in 1972, the group has its origins in a band called the Tradewinds, which was formed by the brothers Panozzo and singer Dennis DeYoung, who also played accordion at the time in the band. They were around 13 years old at the time when this group started. And it's basically the same group as Styx, the really? Core members. Yeah.
That name was way worse than Styx, which tells you a lot.
The Tradewinds. Sounds like a hotel.
Yeah.
I'm saying that the Tradewinds.
That's our buddy on accordion. No, it sounds like a great band.
When performing live from 1978 to 1983, drummer John Panozzo increased the tempo of the guitar pattern during the he increased the tempo during the guitar solo sections of Renegade, and a very classic performance we're going to drop in the show notes there if you want to check that out. John sadly passed away in 1996 due to years of drinking taking its toll on his liver. Chuck is still with the band today as a part-time member and has been an advocate for HIV awareness since he came out as HIV positive in 2001. Which was the same year that he also came out as gay, but he still performs with the bands. He says he gets to play all the hits with them, so they bring him out as a special guest at their concerts.
It's a sweet gig.
Huh? Yeah, yeah. And then they have a regular, you know, bass player. So many of these bands do when they get into their older age. I feel like they bring out, they're like, we still got the core members here, but
yeah,
a lot of the songs, you know, for 2 hours are going to be played.
I've seen Styx in concert, Mark.
Yeah.
Lee, you guys seen Styx?
I've not seen
Styx. I don't
know
if I have or not. I might have.
10 years ago.
I saw them at Barbie Man.
Yeah.
I remember having a good time, but also after like an hour, I was like, okay, I want to go home.
I saw them.
Okay, so they overstayed their welcome is what you're saying.
I saw them at Barber B, Maine.
I was there too.
Gucci, Maine.
Do you have a catalog in your phone? Did you just look it up?
Yes. No.
God, I love you. Did you ever see Weird Al at Barber B, Maine?
I did, yes.
Back in... I saw Weird Al there, too. Was that, early 2000s? No. This would have been late 90s. After Bad Hair Day.
I can't remember. I saw him for the tour Mandatory Fun.
Okay.
And I had seen him in Lakeland for the same thing where he walked through a bunch of stuff up into the crowd. So I knew that was going to happen. And because I know a couple people that work at Barber B. Mann, they told me where he was going to come through. So I went to the bathroom and I stood there and I watched him walk right by me. And I was just like, oh. One of the only times I've been completely like starstruck is when I met Weird Al.
That's awesome.
Listeners know how much I love Weird Al. They know.
Yeah. They know.
Big fan.
Skylar. Another question, if you don't mind.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. On us. This is actually one of my favorite trivia questions. I don't know why. And it's kind of
cool.
Halloween related.
Ah, okay. Great.
I love it. All right. So what? I always have to reread my questions. So I'm like, I kind of feel like I give you the answer in the question. All right. So
double check it if you need to. It's cool.
What are the unpopped kernels in a batch of popcorn called?
Oh my gosh.
What are the unpopped kernels in a batch of popcorn called?
So you make the popcorn and you got those things.
Yeah, popcorn.
At the bottom.
Yeah.
The kerns. The unpopped kerns.
Yeah. The pops.
Wow. There's a term for these.
Yes.
The pops and the has pops.
Are they the what'd you say? The has pops?
Yes.
I was going to say the has pops that never was.
Or have pops. I was trying to do like a has and has not. Or have and have not.
Has beens.
I have no idea. I didn't know there was a name for these.
Kernels that don't fulfill their destiny. You know, they're. What are we talking about here?
Do you like them? Are they tasty to you?
I can't get past the fact that they're unpopped. Like, they're just never number chewed on my teeth. My teeth.
Even, like, the one that's got, like, just, like, that little curl that comes out. You never chewed on that guy?
Of course I have.
Okay.
But I don't think I've ever been like, this was a good idea. You know, usually 2 seconds after I crack in, there's that other part that's not.
I also eat, like, shrimps with this shell still on. So I like that texture. Okay.
Yeah, it's got, like, I mean, a chewy thing. I just feel like there's something about, like, when I was a kid, I ate, like, uncooked ramen, you know? It's just, like, I don't know what it is.
It is cooked.
But I wouldn't do that now.
It's technically cooked. They deep fry it.
Okay. I guess unboiled, then.
Yeah.
Unprepared. Unpopped.
Is Mark alive over there?
I am. I'm trying to think. And I'm having no success.
Is a great question.
Is it?
It is. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know,
underachievers.
Disappointments.
It sounds like you're kind of trying to come up with like pop punk band names.
Right? Unpopped popcorn band names. Unpopped punk.
I don't know. Just come up with a name. I hate sussing stuff that I know I don't know.
Yeah,
I know. I get it. I know.
It's like, here's 7 minutes right, though, of Mark. Me it's mumbling. So, yeah, but, you know.
It's why I hate questions like this, because it's like, you know you don't know. There's no sussing to it.
You either know it or you don't, and it'll be awesome to know the information. But that in between where you're just going, the corn, the kerns.
Yeah.
The kerny
kern.
I'll tell
you why I'm hanging on a little bit, because this sounds like some shit that Skylar told me like 3 years ago at Nice Guys. Just off
just
the
randomly.
Yeah,
hey,
just
yo,
randomly. Yeah.
You ever know what?
Hey, you ever wonder about popcorn?
You ever think about the pops at the end of the kerns?
What?
I mean, I guess technically speaking, wouldn't they just be called kernels because they didn't pop? Mm-hmm. So they're still corn kernels. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the fedora guy, but.
You start a punk band called the Dead Kernels.
Is that what they're called? Or are they called Dead Kernels?
Like a joke. Maybe. Oh, okay. I don't know. I was making a joke.
Well, you wouldn't tell us the answer.
Maybe I wouldn't.
Maybe they're called generals or privates.
Duds.
Yeah, duds. Let's go with duds.
Duds.
Duds. Wrong.
Wrong.
They are called, I don't remember. No, I'm just kidding. They are called widows.
Oh. Widows. Okay. So we were barking up the right tree.
Yeah, I've always liked that term, the widow, the widows, you know?
Right.
It's kind of depressing.
Their mates have popped into the afterlife, and they are left behind in the pan.
And also in the popcorn industry, there's two different types of, you know, popcorn. You know, there's ones who kind of butterfly out where they got the kind of the wings, you know, and there's the ones that kind of poof like a mushroom, you know.
Yep.
The mushroom type, those are the high-end corns. Those are the ones that get the big money.
I see.
Yeah, there's a lot of high standards in corn popping.
Do you know where most of the corn, the most corn that's made for popping is produced? What, in what state
do you know?
I do. John Lewis brought this trivia to our podcast.
I would have to say I remember I've actually heard this before, or maybe it's sugarcane. I'm getting confused. It's a surprising state, like somewhere like, I'm going to say Utah.
No, that's wrong.
No. I get the official wrong.
It's Nebraska.
Damn it.
Lots of corn in Nebraska.
Bright
eyes. That's actually a little bit of a hint that might help you at our Palace Trivia tonight on Monday. So
don't
you
know
that
Nebraska
mind.
Is that Nebraska. Saddle Creek and Bright Eyes is from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all 311.
Right. Oh, one of the greatest rock bands of all time.
Well, we're all mixed up. Let's take a little break. And then we'll be back in round two with a no note.
I'm down with that.
And a miscorrection. From Dylan.
Yay.
Yay.
All right, we're back. We've got a miscorrection. Well, Howard Dean in there on the end.
That was good. That was
yes.
Good. All right. Let's see if we can work a miscorrection in with Howard Dean. Miscorrections! I think that's how you do it there with that one. Oh, we've got miscorrection. We've got a no note here. I've got a little no note that I wanted to share with Mark. I want to share this with you and our listeners. Happy to report that we, thanks to our listeners' reviews, much appreciate all the 5-star reviews you guys give us. We are now the number 19 comedy podcast on Apple Podcasts in the country of Mauritius. Yeah. Yes,
finally. It's
also it's the number 166 podcast overall in Mauritius. But on the comedy charts, we are just right at we're top 20 podcast, finally. Feels so good.
Hell yes.
Mauritius?
Yeah,
you don't know about Mauritius?
No.
Oh, well, let me tell you a little bit about Mauritius. Mauritius is a small island nation about 1,200 miles off the coast of Southeast Africa. It has a highly developed and competitive economy, according to the Human Development Index and the World Bank. The country has no official language, but Creole is the predominant language, though most individuals are fluent in French and English as well. The government provides free healthcare, free education, and free public transport for students, senior citizens, and the disabled. It is the only country in Africa where Hinduism is the predominant religion. and it is best known perhaps as the only known home of the dodo, which went extinct after the island's settlement.
Sounds like a great place.
Mauritius, yes, and we are the number 19 podcast.
How bizarre. A Creole speaking Hindu worshipping progressive
Hindu
wonderland.
Practicing, I would say, not worshipping, but practicing.
With which the dodo once lived.
I'm pretty familiar with Creole. I've worked a lot of Creole people over the years.
Well, you'd fit right in there, I'm sure. Yeah. Food wise, they're a mix of all the different cultures that have settled there. So it's
mainly French.
French,
yeah.
Creole, Chinese as well, though. So yeah. It's kind of a cool fusion style there. We got a no note or a miscorrection here from Dylan. He says, "Hey guys, I actually think I need to miscorrection myself slightly." Now, I'm just going to, as an aside, editor's note here. I think he's being a little hard on himself, but this is important information to clarify. Dylan says, "I've been watching all of the Treehouse of Horror episodes recently, and I noticed that the first 12 are actually referred to as Simpsons Halloween special in the title card. It wasn't until the 13th one that the card officially said Treehouse of Horror. Though canonically, they're all known as the Treehouse of Horror episodes, since the first one was Bart and Lisa in their treehouse sharing scary stories. Technically, the first titled Treehouse of Horror was in season 14, not in season 2, as he claimed in his Rate My Question last week." Continues, "I would probably accept either season 2 or 14 as answers, depending on how you're interpreting the question, but it's probably up for debate. Anyway, just something I noticed while watching the episodes and thought I'd point out. Thanks, Dylan." Quiz Daddy Dylan, thank you so much. I agree. I think with that fact in mind, season 2, season 14, because if somebody writes down 14, you can't deny them that, you know, because they're technically right. But right. Season 2 is the, you know, spiritual beginning of that series. So I think both answers work.
I agree. Fair. But yeah, it's good of him to notice and to write in about. Very good man.
And if you notice something and you want to write in to us, you can do so by emailing us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or give us a call on our hotline at 1-929-356-6966. All right. I'm going to kick off round two. I have a question about animated sitcoms for y'all.
Ooh, okay. I can get on this.
Aaron Magruder is the creator of what controversial animated series that aired from 2005 to 2014?
And that's all the information we get, huh?
I can give you one more hint.
If it wasn't how it was originally written, I don't want it.
Okay, well, I'll be honest. When I was writing this question, I was like, I don't know if I should include this other hint.
Can you read it one more time?
Sure. Aaron Magruder is the creator of what controversial animated series that aired from 2005 to 2014?
That's a pretty good run. I'd imagine it'd be a decently well-known series, right? And animated, that's controversial. I'm trying to think of the major networks, you know, like, you know, you obviously have like Family Guy and Simpsons and all, but that's all still running. What else is there? Maybe King of the Hill? No, that was before then. I started. That's obviously not. That's Mike Judge. We all know that.
Basic what word trivia. Did you use to describe it?
Controversial.
Controversial. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Someone on Adult Swim, maybe during that time frame, especially, or Comedy
that's
Central.
What I was thinking.
Adult Swim or Comedy Central? You said the first year was 2004,
2005 to 2014.
So all right. So I'm thinking right after high school, right after high school.
Yeah, put yourself there.
Right, my prime time marijuana days.
You were watching wrestling. You were watching animated series.
Yeah, I was watching like Tim and Eric, I think. The original internets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the original
internets comedy.
Yeah, you know, E-Bomb's World and all mm-hmm. that stuff. Yeah.
Let me show you my Pokemons.
Yeah. The soundboards.
Mm-hmm.
Good onto the job, you know.
Oh yeah, love a good soundboard, of course.
Controversial animation. What are you thinking? Anything? I'm thinking Adult Swim is a safe place to think. I can't think of
I agree with you.
I can't think of any other I don't know, because even The Simpsons were considered controversial at one point, you know? But
yeah, I mean, it could be something else for sure.
But 2000,
I want to give you guys the lead cast member. That was the detail that I left out. That might help you along.
I'm okay with that.
Do you want the lead cast member?
If you want to give it.
You're so resistant to it. You just don't want it.
You know how I am. Right. I'm gonna leave it if they're written into a question.
I'm just gonna leave it.
Right. We'll ask if we want it. We know it's there. We know the options on the table.
What about controversial is definitely the word that is throwing me kind of for a loop. I was thinking it might be Death Clock.
Oh, that's a good one. I feel like that I was still in high school. Maybe right after, so it might be 2000. I don't know. Death Clock's a good answer, because I was thinking that or Aqua Teen, Hunger Force, but I feel like that was before then.
See, I don't know how either of those are very controversial. I mean, like, saying or doing some sketchy stuff, I just don't think they're very controversial.
But I feel like the term, really, like, I feel like the term in this question, controversial, is controversial in itself. What do you consider controversial?
Right.
There were business ramifications to the show's actions. I mean, it's, you know, media ramifications, apologies, all sorts of, you know, controversial.
All right.
Created a controversy.
I'll take that.
Several times.
Obviously not South Park. Fuck, I don't know. Rick and Morty? I've never seen that show. I don't know when it started.
My air conditioner just kicked on.
Feeling good, huh?
Feeling loud.
Feeling loud, feeling great.
Don't know how loud that's going to come in through this microphone. I'm sorry in advance.
If you're listening, just feel the cold breeze as you hear Mark's air conditioning come in.
Man, 9-year run and ended 6 years ago.
What was that? Again, I've never seen any of these shows. Not Birdman. What was,
Archer, Harvey Birdman?
Like Archer? Is that controversial?
Archer's still running.
I just don't know what's controversial or not. That's just the hard thing. Like you said, you stated your case. But I feel like any animated show that runs for 9 years is going to be probably controversial unless it's a children's show. You know?
Right.
It's like the whole point of getting away.
That'd be so terrible. Sadly, it is a children's show.
Yeah.
So much controversy.
I mean, it could have been, what's her name's Teletubbies with Poe in her backpack. Or
that's
her,
a good point.
Purse.
I mean, that goes to show controversy. It could be a kid's show, but again, it is an animated sitcom.
Animated sitcom. Oh, what about American Dad?
Is that still running? No?
I don't think so. It was the exact same concept of Family Guy, but with an alien instead of, you know, a dog.
But that was made by, what's his name, wasn't it? Seth MacFarlane?
Yeah, but he's controversial.
But he gave a different name, didn't he? Can you read the question again?
Aaron Magruder.
Oh.
Aaron Magruder is the creator of what controversial animated series? That aired from 2005 to 2014.
See, I forgot that part of it.
I was thinking maybe it could be something on like Netflix or something like that, HBO.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
But like, Aaron Magruder sounds a little familiar.
It's not ringing a bell with me.
Yeah. Let's just go with something. Could it be, what was that show, The Boondocks?
Oh, yeah, that was good.
I could see it being controversial. I think there was some controversy that drummed up, and I know it did stop at some point. You would just want to go with that?
Yeah. What was that, Pimp Named Simplex? Greg, yeah, we'll take Boondocks.
We're going to say The Boondocks.
Wow, what a great random guess.
There at the end,
Hail Mary toss, The Boondocks is correct.
That was all you.
Holy shit.
Wow. That was all you, Mark. That was good.
You guys landed on it.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Holy shit.
Magruder was the executive producer and head writer of the adaptation of his own webcomic. Like the show's protagonist, Huey and Riley, he grew up in Chicago and moved at a young age, later earning a degree in African-American studies at the University of Maryland. Magruder had already been publishing The Boondocks as a webcomic for 2 years at that point. It debuted on hitlist.com in 1996. How's that for a webcomic start date? 1996. It's pretty early.
Wow. Yeah.
The animated series contains 4 seasons that aired on Adult Swim, as well as on channels in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, France, Poland, Sweden, Italy, Denmark, and in Russia, where it is strangely titled Ghetto. The Boondocks is like this in the suburbs. Anyways, did you know that, and this is an interesting piece of trivia, which I did not make this connection. The Boondocks starred Watchmen's Regina King as the main character. She did both the voices of Riley and Huey. Something.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. The show also featured the late John Witherspoon as Granddad and Gary Anthony Williams as Uncle Ruckus. Cameos include Samuel L. Jackson, Mark Hamill, Lil Wayne, Michael B. Jordan, Ed Asner, Snoop Dogg, Tom Kenny, you might know him as SpongeBob, and the late Adam West, who in a season one episode plays R. Kelly's lawyer. It's a great episode. Magruder was heavily involved in the first 3 seasons of the show, offering commentary on race, politics, and the war on terror, as well as sharp criticism of black pop culture entities such as BET and Tyler Perry. Magruder created a character named Winston Jerome, which was a thinly veiled parody of Perry, who used religion and comedy to mask his true closeted sexuality, which Perry was so offended at this concept that he threatened to rethink his relationship with Turner Broadcasting because he had 2 sitcoms on the channel at the time. Oof. House of Pain and Meet the Browns. The show won a Peabody Award for an episode that Al Sharpton strongly criticized for showing Martin Luther King Jr. using the N-word. So it was controversial, but it is slated for a 2020 revival at HBO Max. So apparently sometime soon we're going to get
HBO Max stepping up, man.
2 new seasons of that. And Magruder, yes, as the creator, is almost as personally notorious as the show itself. He once called Condoleezza Rice a mass murderer to her face at the aptly named 2002 NAACP Image Awards. How's that for an image?
That.
Mass murderer.
I will say that
Rice.
I will say, as far as that show goes, my favorite, one of my favorite parts of that show that I recall was there's an episode where there's a pimp named Slickback.
Right. And isn't that like, Samuel L. Jackson? Or no, he plays a different.
Maybe,
character.
But they're no. like they're like. So your name's Slickback. He's like, no, I'm a pimp named Slickback. It's like a Tribe Called Quest. You say the whole thing. I'm a pimp named Slickback. And I was like, love it.
Yeah, great show. Good.
Anyway, that's all I remember from that show.
All right. Well, do you have a question for us, Skylar?
Oh yeah. Let's see. Ah. Let me pull up my Apple iPhone hashtag request. Sponsor me.
Hashtag.
I need to get that new iPhone 5.
Yeah. I'm still rocking that like 7, man, you know? Let's see here. I did that
they
one.
They just released the 12 and the body looks a lot like the 5, which I think is cool, but I've moved on. I'm an Android guy now, but
all right, so this is another TV show question. I feel like this is so stupid easy and I'm going to feel dumb for even asking it. But
watch, wait until you see how we feel when we get it wrong.
All right. George Carlson was the first host for what late night sketch comedy show?
Did you say George Carlson?
Yeah, did I get it
wrong?
Did
you mean George Carlin?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
At first I was like, shit, I know about George Carlin, but I don't know about George Carlson.
Do you know this, Lee?
I do. Do you?
I don't.
I had the season of Saturday Night Live on DVD. So Saturday Night Live, I'm 100%.
That was going to be my guess.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You're right.
I almost doubted myself, but I was 100% sure. I've watched the DVD. It was a very different show then too.
I've never seen it. Victoria, my right hand woman on the taco truck today, I was like, yo, give me some trivia, and she's all about that early SNL stuff. So she's like, well, the trivia. First host was this.
Yeah.
So that stuck. I was like, that's something they're either not gonna know because they don't give a shit, or they're gonna know like right off the bat, like that's the stupidest thing you've ever asked me. But at least it was 50-50.
Yeah, and sometimes we do get stuff that you would expect wrong. And that is it's you know, I don't think that everybody knows that, you know, but I didn't know that. That's a good classic trivia question, you know. Because Saturday Night Live is such a big entity, yeah. You know, you want to know like a lot of details about it, and that in and of itself is kind of it's juicy, as Mark would say, because
juicy.
George Mark, Carlin is remembered fondly, and Saturday Night Live is thought of sometimes as fondly.
Yeah, it's not as good as Mad TV, but you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, here and there.
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Mark, are you ready?
Yes.
First question, the second round. Goldfish are a relatively small member of what fish family?
Pepperidge Farms.
They remember.
Koi, maybe? That'd be my go-to. It'd be koi.
Well, they have giant koi that they call goldfish, right?
Koi, I'm going to go on a limb and say I'm very certain that koi fish and goldfish are almost the identical. Are they? They're very, very similar.
They just grow to their.
They grow exactly. So koi fish is ultimately just a certain breed of goldfish, mm-hmm. that is bred in larger, like ponds and bodies of water to grow to their size.
I like that koi.
Yeah,
the koi family of fish.
I'm not going to come up with a better answer than that. So,
yeah, I mean, I was like. Bass, but no koi. I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot better. Let's go with koi. Koi, Mark.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
That's bullshit.
Koi.
So a koi fish is from the same family. But the family I was looking for was the carp.
Oh.
Okay.
So koi is a colored variety of the Amurcop carp. Goldfish are from the carp family as well.
Now I'm thinking of the Magikarp Pokemon, which is a goldfish, basically.
There you are. So,
way to go, Lee.
Okay, so that's good. Koi and goldfish are the subcategory.
The subcategory,
and fish is the category.
Yes.
Got it. All right.
Down.
Scottish poets Walter Kennedy and William Dunbar are best known as the progenitors of flighting, which is a fierce competition of what?
I probably only understood a third of that question.
I'll read it one more time. Scottish poets Walter Kennedy and William Dunbar are best known as the progenitors of flighting. That's F-L-Y-T-I-N-G, which is a fierce competition of what?
I would say the spelling changes a little bit. I'm thinking flighting, maybe something with swords or shields.
Should we pay attention to the fact that they're both poets or no?
I didn't catch that. Good job. They're poets.
Thank you.
So would that be maybe like
a term in debating. I feel like flighting is like a jousting. It's like a back and forth. I don't know. I don't know much. I don't know anything about that term, but
I wonder if it's like a play on fighting, like fighting, but with an L. Flighting.
So they're both poets, right? Both poets.
Scottish poets, mm-hmm. Walter Kennedy and William Dunbar.
Kennedy and Dunbar.
Two strong names.
Yeah.
What would two philosophers compete against? That's hard. My philosophy outdoes your philosophy. That's all. There's no. That's not philosophy. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know, man. To be straight up with you.
Straight up now, tell me, do you really want to love me forever? All right, what's our final answer?
Dude, I have no fucking clue. Flighting, two poets, rhyming.
Yeah, let's go with the rhyming.
Rhyming.
Wrong. I'm sorry, that's not the answer I was looking for. There was the occasional rhyme. They are poets, of course. But the answer I'm looking for is insults. Insults.
Insults.
The term flighting comes from Old English and Old Norse words for quarrel and provocation. And in Norse mythology, actually, there are several instances of flighting. Loki and Athena have a flighting match where they just lob insults at each other right after the other. It was a popular form of entertainment for Scottish royals, such as Kings James IV and James V. The flighting of Kennedy and Dunbar, which is a recorded insult that they performed for King James IV, actually features the first recorded use of the word shit as an insult when Kennedy calls Dunbar a shit without wit.
Nice.
Which is, yeah, pretty good line even today. So yeah, it's basically like an old Scottish rap battle. And there is a historian at the University of Mexico, Ferenc Zsáz, who wrote a study in 2008, which claimed that flighting is a direct ancestor of the modern day rap battle, saying the Scots have a lengthy tradition of flighting, intense verbal jousting, often laced with vulgarity that is similar to the dozens that one finds among contemporary inner city African-American youth. You guys know about the dozens?
No.
It's basically just a cut down competition. Like you just try to, well, I'll say Zsáz continues here. Both cultures accord high marks to satire. The skill used of satire takes this verbal jousting to its ultimate level, one step short of a fist fight. All words can sting, and hard ridicule such as mimicry, irony, and sarcasm stings most painfully. When used by an expert, it can reduce an opponent to jelly. So basically the goal is to keep your wits about you while being insulted so that you can just destroy your opponent in the next, you know, round or verse or whatever. Zsáz, with support from jazz musician and Yale University professor Willie Ruff, claims that the cultural exchange occurred when Scottish colonizers would promote flighting over fighting amongst slaves in America. So it was kind of like a, like, don't hurt each other, just use your words like we do in this, like, performative thing. And Willie Ruff actually studied the cultural relationship between the Scottish, African slaves, as well as Native Americans, because in the church, the call and response thing has its origins in the Southern Baptist Church call and response has its origins in Presbyterian Scottish origins, I think, if I remember correctly. There's a Willie Ruff made a documentary about this too. I don't have the title here, but if I find a link, I'll put that in the show notes. So insults. Flighting is a competition.
Please
of insults.
Hammer, don't hurt him.
Mark, I think it's Skylar. It's your turn.
Oh, yeah, it's my turn. Yeah. All right, let's see here.
Skylark.
You guys ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I have faith that you can suss this out.
Okay. Let's do it.
Given the small clues. All right. Originally designed as a way to process corn for cattle feed, what crunchy cheese snack was accidentally invented instead?
Huh.
I wrote this question like 5 minutes ago.
That's great. Oh. That's a good one. Yeah. Can I hear it one more time?
Originally designed as a way to process corn for cattle feed, what crunchy cheese snack was accidentally invented instead?
Okay, so we have a crunchy cheese snack that's made of corn. I think Cheez-Its are made of wheat flour mostly, but I would say that a Cheeto is probably corn. Right?
Yeah, I was thinking something like the Cheesy Poof or the Cheeto.
Mm-hmm.
Could very well be it.
Cheese balls. The big old tub.
Oh, so good.
Mm.
Gone in one sitting.
Planters,
if you know what you're doing.
Planters reintroduced those cheese balls.
I saw that. Are they still around, or did it was like a limited time thing?
I don't know, but I bought a tube when I saw it.
Smart man.
Nostalgia.
Yep.
They weren't very good.
No kidding. The memory tastes better. My Cheesy Poofs.
What do you think? Cheetos?
Yeah, let's go with Cheetos.
Cheetos.
No sussing out, just going with an answer?
Well, I mean, how many cheese... I like I said, we sussed, I think, corn, Cheetos. Cheese it is wheat, I think. So, right. Cheetos. So,
what is it?
Cheetos.
Cheetos. Correct.
Yeah.
The cheese, not the crunchy Cheeto. Not the crunchy Cheeto.
No?
The poof.
Oh, really?
But that's the original Cheeto, so okay. I'm going to give it to you. It's cheat.
So they shrunk them. They were like, these Cheetos are too.
I did say Cheesy poofy. Poofs.
Okay.
He did say cheese. I remember him saying poofs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they were trying to find a way to process corn to make it more of a filler and easier for the cows to digest. So they were putting through these extruders, almost like how you like force dough through a to make like pasta or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they would force it through. And then they puffed up and they did this thing because they would be through so much pressure and heat that they'd poof up. So one of the workers there, at the original plant, I don't remember the name of the plant, they brought it home, they seasoned them, they tasted them, and they're like, oh, these are good. These would make a good snack. And then somehow cheese got involved, and maybe because cows. And, you know, poof, cheese poofs.
Next thing you know, King Nebuchadnezzar's eating some cheese poofs. Like, I'm a cow!
I'm telling you right now, the machines that shape cereals was one of the greatest marvels that has changed food forever. It's crazy.
Yeah. The cereal machine.
Yeah.
The
grain machine. Like these puffers that mm-hmm. make like all these. Think of all
Honey
the
smacks.
Think of all the cereal you eat. Mm-hmm. Think about the shapes of them. The way they're puffed. You know, you have Captain Crunch, for example. Mm-hmm. These go through very fine-tuned machines that manipulate corn and wheat in 100 different ways that make them produce different results. Like, you know, you have, and all these machines have very tight patents. You have the people who make Captain Crunch, that pillow effect where they can extrude that dough through a machine that poofs it enough that they can cut it right at the right point to make it a pillow shape.
Right.
And so it's modern marvels all day long.
Indeed.
Check it out. Okay. How it's made too.
Yeah, I was going to say, this reminds me of how it's made.
It.
You're talking about these
all
machines.
All day long, I'll just watch it. That's me with a tub of popcorn.
Nice. Mark, your final question of round two.
Okay. Here is my final question of round two. Mary Lou Retton, the first ever American woman to win the all-around gold medal at the Olympics, did so in what year?
Again?
Mary Lou Retton, the first ever American woman to win the all-around gold medal at the Olympics, did so in what year?
Did you say all-around gold medal?
Yes, for gymnastics.
Oh, okay, for gymnastics.
For gymnastics.
Okay. I think I don't know. At first, I thought he was saying there was like an all around, just like a general, not even in one sport, just like one overall, gold medal for the best, like an MVP. I was like, yeah. I've never seen that award ceremony.
That's hardcore
before.
For the Olympics.
Yeah. But overall in gymnastics, okay. It's a little bit more specific.
I know this is annoying, but the year one more time?
That's what he's asking for.
Oh, it's the year.
That's what we need to figure out.
Okay. The year one more time, please. Yep.
Mark, if you wouldn't mind the answer.
You know, obviously. What the Olympics has been going on for hundreds of years. As far as gymnastics go, I can think of currently the one, you know, the man, I'm so bad with those names, though. I'm so bad with those
names. This name, I feel like this is pretty classic. I want to say it's either the 70s or the 80s, like early 80s.
So it's not like the girl in the 90s who like hurt her ankle and still did the triumphant.
Nancy Kerrigan?
No.
Oh, no. That was skating, and she didn't.
No, like the gymnastic girl who did. She, like, hurt her ankle, and she went for one more run like, got the medal off of it. Yeah. She was crying. They're carrying her. It's so dramatic. It's proud to be an American.
Maybe that was her.
Maybe. Remember? She hurt her foot, and she's, like, limping on one foot.
Now that you're mentioning it, it's coming back to me. What was her name, though? I want to say it started with an M, but I don't think it was Mary Lou.
That's the only one I can remember. And that would have been, let's see. I actually went to the Olympics in 96. So it would have been before that, because it wasn't that year.
The Atlanta Olympics?
Yeah.
Oh. That was a controversial Olympics.
That was the Richard year of the Jewell. Bombing. That was also the year of the bombing.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy.
Mark, did you recommend that movie, or did you just say you saw the trailer? Richard Jewell.
I think I just said I saw the trailer.
Looks pretty good.
Is that the guy who did the bombing?
He was the guy that discovered the bomb and was suspected of putting it there. He was a security guard.
Security guard, yeah, that's what it was.
I don't know if he was convicted for that. I don't even know how that shook out.
Fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my... So, during those Olympics, you know, it was in Atlanta... So you would have to go into this like bus station, park your car, and then get on these big buses to go into the Olympics, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how they maintain like the crowds.
Yeah.
And I remember leaving like the main hub of Atlanta where, you know, they had all the events on our way out. And as we're leaving was when the bomb was going off. I didn't experience it or feel it or see it, but it was like literally like 20-30 minutes as we're leaving this, you know, this arena on a bus full of other people going back to our cars is when the whole thing happened. It's crazy.
Wow. So you said 96? Maybe it's her. Maybe it's the same.
I didn't say 96. Or you said 92. I said 92.
Maybe it's her. I have no better answer. I have a gut feeling about the 70s and 80s, but I have no evidence.
All right.
So might as well. 92.
That is incorrect. Wrong. Your gut feeling was right. The year was 1984.
Okay. So who is the lady that hurt her ankle? That's what we must know. That's what we must find out in our break.
Mark, we're gonna take. Yeah, say, Mark, do you know? Do you know who I'm talking about? I did a puzzle the other day based off the 90s, and she was on it.
I do remember who you're talking about, but I can't remember her name. She was taught by the same Michelle people that taught Mary Lou Retton.
Huh.
Well, let's take a little break. We'll look that up.
If
I
ever do another Zoom meeting for one of these, it'll be too soon.
It'll be too Zoom. All right, let's take a little break, and we're going to look up that fact and figure out who that lady was, and we'll be back with a Rate My Question. We're back. We have a 8 to 10 second delay, and we're gonna try and do this Rate My Question theme.
Great.
We have a note here from CJ. CJ's writing it again. Says, Lee and Mark, greetings again from the state of Louisiana. I appreciate Seth and you guys giving us a shout out on episode 119, Venereal Steel. While my little family is breathing a sigh of relief after Hurricane Delta, I know many were not so lucky. There was a lot of flooding, and it was really the last thing the boot needed right now. We are still living the hotel life while repairs on our home continue. I figured I would check in with you guys, send a no note, and a rate my question. I'm not going to even try to type out the phonetic spelling of Tony Chachere, but I will say you're still not quite there in your pronunciation. But hey, it's okay. Most of us around here just say Tony's, and Kenya was ribbing me last night on the Twitch stream for that, and I was like, it's cool, I just call it Tony's now. CJ continues, anyways, thanks again for the great content. I'll keep you guys updated on our family's adventures, and you guys keep the episodes coming. Much love, CJ. We will, CJ. All right, here is his question. What country's capital is Windhoek? A word that most likely comes from the Afrikaans, Windhoek, meaning wind corner. What country's capital is Windhoek? That's Windhoek, a word that most likely comes from the Africans, Windhoek, which is the same word but with a hyphen in the middle, meaning wind corner.
I mean, right off the bat, I imagine that like the hint is in the, you know, in the question, the African country.
Right. So it comes from Afrikaans, which is the language they speak. And I know they speak Afrikaans in South Africa, but I'm pretty sure the capital of South Africa is Pretoria, if I remember correctly. Could it be Namibia? That's kind of down there. It's north of South Africa. It's kind of the corner. And they've got a lot of desert, so there's like a bunch of wind blowing around. Sand blowing everywhere. Windhoek, Namibia. No?
I mean, the name
I don't think it's Namibia.
It's very English.
Zimbabwe? Doesn't sound, see, Windhoek, it almost sounds like a Dutch word. It says it's Afrikaans, though.
Well, I mean, Afrikaans, I believe, is like based off of Dutch, isn't it?
I mean, that would make sense. The Dutch settled, maybe that's what Afrikaans is the Dutch settled in Africa and was trying to.
Did it say like, it's an African country? Among.
It did not. It just says it's a word that most likely comes from the Afrikaans Windhoek. So it doesn't state this is in Africa. But oh. we're making an inference here based on the clue. It could be, so you're thinking it could be like in the Dutch West Indies or something like that?
Yeah.
Or East Indies?
Yeah, I am.
Anywhere the Dutch might be.
Yeah, I am.
Well, it's not Curacao. Because I would remember that. Windhoek. St. Denis. Are we thinking Lesser Antilles?
I have no idea. Great question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know. It could, I'm just trying to think of a place like Windhoek.
Mm-hmm.
Windhoek. Someplace in Africa doesn't feel right. I mean, it very well could be. It very well could be.
Madagascar?
No.
No?
Madagascar, I asked a question about the capital city of Madagascar. And I know I'm pretty positive we've done a question about the capital city of Namibia. I feel like we have.
Well, it's not Mauritius because I just looked up a bunch of information about that and okay, I did not good. See that. Yeah.
Let's All clear, right, fair let's enough. Clear, let's clear the air.
It's Let's go ahead and make it well known here. Yeah, man, I don't know. Cameroon. Chad. Windhoek Chad. Do not know. Very bad at guessing this stuff.
Yeah, my guess would be completely up in the air.
Cameroon is named after the ghost shrimp from the river, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you'd have the ghost shrimp from the wind corner. I don't know about that.
Sounds cool.
I love all the knowledge I'm building through this podcast. Like, I don't remember everything, but some of it's coming back.
It's all coming back to me now.
It's comforting to know that some of it gets retained. Should we just go with Namibia? I mean, can that just be our stock answer?
Sure,
here?
Let's go with Namibia.
All right.
Yeah,
I don't think it's right, but CJ, great question, CJ. We do not know.
A plus. B plus, B minus. I don't know how you guys do this.
It's Namibia!
Holy shit!
How did I
not remember that?
Oh my gosh. It is located in the central Namibia, known as the Comus Highland Plateau area. Oh man.
Does that mean you instantly rate it to like a C because you know it?
No. No. It's okay to know the answers to the trivia questions. We want that even.
No, it doesn't.
I was actually thinking, now that you mention it, Skylar, I think we should shift. I'm at least going to shift my rating system over because I feel like we're just giving out a lot of A's, and not that we shouldn't be giving out A's because the questions that we get are structured very well, but I just feel like a star system, you know, is more appropriate. Like, because then you can say like, I love this question, you know, 5 stars.
Yeah.
Not knocking.
You can do
it.
The same thing with letters.
Well, you could, but it just feels weird. Like, oh, this is a competent question. So I'm going to give it a C. Like, it's just so academic, you know, I just feel like a star rating system would be more appropriate.
Yeah, like a C.
I don't
want to
play teacher anymore.
A C hurts. 3's like 50-50. People are gonna know that.
2.5 on a 5-star. I love the 5-star scale because 2.5, totally average. I mean, I guess you could half 4 if you wanted, but 2.5 is average. You get 3 stars, better than average. Doing better than average.
Yeah, but most people don't know the five star scale.
Mm-hmm. They don't half it.
3 is like pretty much 1.
No.
You're telling me if you're going to buy...
That's how video game ratings work.
You're telling me if you're going to go on Amazon, you're like, oh, this thing looks interesting. It has 3 stars. You're like, am I ever going to settle for less than 4? 3 stars?
Sure, but I mean...
3 stars?
Okay, a product on Amazon.
I'll never buy anything for 3 stars.
But let's talk about movies. Are you going to say a 3-star out of 5-star movie is a bad movie?
But movies are opinion, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I just want to use stars. That's all. I'm just asking to use stars.
I'm going to keep using letters.
Okay, that's fine. I think it's good if we have 2 different systems.
We're going to give
you get two different perspectives.
We're going to give you an F to your 3 yeah. stars.
How would you rate this question?
Well, it's hard. I don't know that there's any hints that could be added other than maybe... This is a country that comes up frequently on the No Nonsense Trivia podcast. I mean, you could add that as a hint if you wanted. And people would be like, oh, it's Namibia. But no, I like it. I think it's a pretty solid question. It's pretty difficult, so I'd probably use this as a later round question at my trivia. But I'll give this 3 stars, which, again, is not a knock. That's above average.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Good. 3 stars.
Yeah, I would give it a B plus, maybe an A minus, in that it is, did he give any kind of, like area of where it was in Africa?
No, the word wind corner though, that's what stuck out to me because I know it's like South Africa and Namibia kind of form the southeastern corner of Africa. So that's what drew me there. So it doesn't outright say it.
So that's the hint.
But there is kind of a little bit of a geographic hint.
I'd give it an A minus. I think it's good. It is hard. You know, again, it's one of those things where if you don't know geography if you don't know African geography, then that's kind of your issue. I know that we tend to like pop culture questions more, but I would give it a solid A minus to A.
Nice.
All right.
Well, thank you, CJ, for that great question. Skylar, any thoughts on that question?
I thought it was stellar.
Nice. Like an
A. He gives it song. 5+ A stars.
5+ A stars. The mega rating. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a miscorrection, you can do so by emailing us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or calling us at 1-929-356-6966. All right, we have three questions left for the episode. Skylar, would you like to break us into round three?
Wait, I'm starting round three?
Yeah, you're yes. Our guest. It's your time.
Shit.
Be our guest. Be our guest.
Ask put ourselves to the test.
So I only have two questions to choose from, and they're both horrible.
Oh, great. Okay.
I'm being honest with you.
I appreciate your honesty. Are you going to give us a choice? They're probably not as bad as you think.
Categories?
Horses or herbs?
Well, like I said, I just wrote a horses question, so...
They're both very generic questions, regardless of either one. Horses or herbs?
Mark?
I don't know why I'm feeling horses, but I am.
Hell yeah.
Let's do it. Horses.
You ready for this question?
Horse yes. Time.
Horses...
Horsey sauce.
Horses are pregnant for how long?
Wow. That's it?
That is it. Tell me the answer.
For all of eternity.
How long are horses pregnant?
The gestation time of a horse.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be something crazy that's like, I've got two answers. One is like 2 weeks. And the other is 9 months exactly, just like a human.
I was going to say 9 months.
Yeah. That would make this question very interesting.
It would.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
is it like some kind of like Prometheus thing where we're like the space jockeys and the horses are, you know, descendants?
Maybe.
And they're wondering, why are we here?
Well, so
and we're like, we're the fucking literal jockey.
Horses are very delicate animals.
I did just listen to a podcast, I believe called Bloodlines. It was a 30 for 30 special. It was a 3 or 4 part special about racing horses. And you did hear a horse nut.
And you did hear a horse nut.
Can you give us an example of what a horse sounds like when it nuts?
It was like, you know, it was very typical, like, oh, like, you know,
it's what you would expect.
No, it was.
Yeah, exactly. It's where they take these horses and they, you know, horses like that have this ancestry and these horses that won the Kentucky Derby or, you know, the Belmont Stakes or, you know, the coveted three banger.
The triple crown.
Well, I call it the three banger. And then basically the horse retires to go and people just pay to have their horse fuck their mare.
And yeah, don't they and don't they pay like hundreds, if not millions of dollars for
hundreds
that
of thousands of dollars, yeah.
Oh my god.
And you know, I want to say that they don't pay until the horse has a foal, I think. And I think they may have said a year.
Are you cheating on your phone, Lee?
No, I'm not. He looks so innocent.
I don't trust you anymore.
I'm just trying to get some details for my next question. Sorry, I'm listening to you, Mark.
9 months to a year, I'd say. 9 months.
Well, you said
like
you sounded, it sounded like you said that you heard a year.
I think they said something like, oh, they have to wait a year to find out. But I mean, it could be 9 months. I mean, all things considered, it's got to get pregnant first. You know what I mean?
A year seems so long.
I mean, it's close to 9 months.
Right. But I mean, 9 months, I can understand that. It's like, seems rational. We're used to that. We're used to, we humans.
As three men, we're used to it.
We humans are used to a 9 month pregnancy. I say, let's go nine. It's just right, crazy enough to work.
Wrong.
Is it a year?
It's a year.
Oh,
God damn it.
Mark, I'm
son
so sorry.
Of a fucking bitch.
I doubted.
Son of a fucking bitch.
Call me Meryl Streep because I have doubt.
Oh, that's good. Okay. I get you.
You have gout.
So I was going to ask you this question. I guess it would be like a words question. But I also have a question about morning TV. Children's television. Which would you prefer?
Morning TV or children's television?
Mm. Or words.
Or words. Words sounds so dark.
Or like a word definition. That has some pop culture reference to it.
Hmm. I just feel like we're going to go with children's TV and it's going to be some shit we don't know. And I feel like the words is going to be some other shit we don't know. What I'm getting at is we're screwed either way.
I'm not good with definitions like and defining words. I'm horrible with it.
Yeah, we already dealt with the flighting. Let's go with the... The morning.
We both
kids
have
show.
Kids the same age. Hopefully it hits that mark.
Hopefully this question is not from 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Or 20 years
it
ago.
It is from over 20 years ago.
Awesome.
But you may know this. We'll see.
All right.
What character on Pee-wee's Playhouse often gave the word of the day?
Oh, that's
the chair.
No, the dude in the box. Make a high. Oh.
Jamba?
Is it Jamba?
I think that was his name.
He always looked like Patrick Swayze to me. Do you see it, Mark?
A little bit, I guess.
Make a lick a high, make a hiney ho.
Are
what
you
a
sure that's who gave the word?
Make a lick a high, make a roadhouse.
Make a lick a high, make a roadhouse.
If this guy had so many words, why did he? What was with the make a lick a high thing?
Make a lick a high, make a dirty dance.
Because all right, what other character on
the talking chair, the sofa?
Yeah, but he wasn't a character as much. Like he
wait, Mark.
He. Are you misgendering?
Sorry. They.
The talking chair?
Mark, can you read this one more time?
I can. What character on Pee-wee's Playhouse often announced the word of the day? They'd give the word of the day, and if you said it, everybody would go, ah, and go crazy.
I thought it was Pee-wee that revealed it.
He might have gotten it. I think he got it in the mail. Did he open it? Was it something he opened? Like a package? Like the mailbox? Like the word of the day is, you know, I don't know. Was there a name for the mailbox, though? Is it ringing
there
the bell?
There was,
there's the chair, there's the headless man in the box.
There was Cowboy Curtis.
Oh, yeah.
Lawrence
because,
Fishburne.
Well, wasn't that one guy who came by? There's the postal worker who popped by every day.
Mm-hmm.
And gave the mail. Maybe he's the one who gave the word of the day. In the mail. I feel good about that.
What's his name?
I have no idea.
All right, give me his name then.
The postal worker.
Feels so fucking good.
The postal worker.
All right, hey, the smart guy, then what's his name?
I just, that was a cameo though. That's the thing. Like,
I feel like that was like it reminds reminds you of Don't Be a Menace. Message.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever seen Don't Be a Menace.
You ever seen Don't Be a Menace?
That's the first
every time there's like
Wayne's
a
brother movie, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the first, but every time there's like a message, mm-hmm. like a cultural message.
Mm-hmm. They would like shout it out.
The one Wayne's message. Brother would pop up dressed up as a postal worker and he'd go, message.
Oh, okay. Kind of like a toasty type thing from Mortal Kombat.
message.
Pop in. What was the postman's name?
I also don't know. I don't know. And I don't know the name of the guy in the box. What was his name?
Jambi.
Oh, Jambi. That's
not
right.
Jamba. Did I say Jamba earlier? Like Jamba Juice?
You did. Jambi. Jambi Juice.
Let's go with Jambi. We know his name.
Are we?
Okay. That's,
let's go with Jambi.
We know Pee-wee and we know Jambi. And we don't know any of the other names. So.
All right. Let's go with Jambi.
There was also Cherry. All of those are wrong.
Wrong.
My friends, you forgot all about a robot named Conky.
Conky. You were right about the message.
He pulled it out of his belly, right?
Yep.
I believe he pulled it out of his mouth or his belly, one of the two.
Pulling something out.
Conky.
Conky.
Remember how good the first Pee-wee Herman movie was?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think we should let him go.
Tell him Lars Mars sent ya.
I will tell you, I have noticed I've had a lot of strange coincidences happen between this show and Double Threat. And that was one of them. The same week that you mentioned that scene, Tom Sharpling talked about the same exact scene and did an example or did an impression of it. That's exactly the same week.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Conky.
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 Well done. Great question, Mark. Just out of curiosity, can we hear your words question?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to give you it.
Why not?
Give me 1 second here.
A redemption moment, perhaps.
Bring this bad boy up. All right. Appearing in popular culture, such as Reservoir Dogs, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, and an episode of The Office, what is a truel? T-R-U-E-L. Appearing in popular culture such as Reservoir Dogs, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, and an episode of The Office. What is a truel?
T-R-U-E-L?
Yes.
Not Pirates of the Caribbean, but I feel like I should be able to get this. It's obviously got something to do with Dwight. Maybe a walk on like fire?
Oh, like walking on hot coals?
Yeah.
That kind of thing? I don't think that's in Reservoir Dogs.
No, you're right. That's not.
So I was thinking Reservoir Dogs, that's a relatively small movie. Pirates of the Caribbean and The Office, there's tons of stuff going on all the time.
Loads and loads.
Right. But Reservoir Dogs.
They rob a bank. They all end up in a warehouse.
Which you don't see. Right. So you got a warehouse. There are some flashbacks, though, where, spoiler alert, Tim Roth's character.
Mr. Blonde?
Mr. Orange?
It might be I think it's Mr. Orange, yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Orange, there's a flashback with him, and you see, you know, him training, getting the lie down, getting the story down. They're in a restaurant, they're in a diner. Is there...
What about Mr. Pink talks about how he's not going to tip?
That's at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the flashback when you understand that Mr. Orange is the undercover cop and he's like going through the motion. Is there any kind of like fake thing? Like he's supposed to steal the car and the old lady shoots him.
I used to love this movie. It's been a long time since I've watched it though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause everything goes wrong.
Yeah. He's supposed to be the getaway driver. And he goes to steal the car from the old lady, and she's got a gun in her purse, and she shoots him in the stomach. And then Mr. White drives him to the rendezvous point, the warehouse. Is there any kind of, like, fake thing going on? Like, something that helps him disguise himself? There's no disguises in it, is there?
And the term is truly? Truly? Mm-hmm.
Truel.
A truel.
Is it Mr. Blonde has a switchblade, right? That's another iconic prop.
Mm-hmm.
Can of gasoline. That wouldn't be in Pirates of the Caribbean. There's a bathroom. There's a ramp. Oh. Oh. A Mexican standoff, a three-way.
Ah, they all have the guns on each other.
And there is one in the office. There's a meme with them pointing finger guns at each other.
And I guess I can see that in the Pirates. That's yes. a very...
Yes.
I feel all right, yeah, let's this. Go with it, yeah.
A Trull is a three-way duel, or
that is correct.
As a... All right.
Good nice. Sussing, gentlemen. Good job.
All right.
Too bad you didn't pick that, and you picked the one that you got wrong, Conky.
Because that's a famous scene where they're all, especially Reservoir Dogs. I know nothing about.
Absolutely,
Pirates you of the stop Caribbean. Putting that gun at my father right now.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Chris Dead Man's Pence. Chest. It's a three way duel with swords or S words.
I think even back in my punk rock metal days, I made a flyer consisting of the graphic of them. You
damn.
Know?
Mm-hmm.
That would have brought people out.
High contrast, you know, like, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep. All right. I have one more question for you guys. This is my sea creatures question for you, my animals question. What deep sea fish is believed to have the lowest brain to body weight ratio of any vertebrate on the planet? What deep sea fish is believed to have the lowest brain to body weight ratio of any vertebrate?
Vertebrate. That's the key there.
I mean, when I think deep sea fish, I think of the coelacanth.
The what?
The coelacanth. It's a deep sea fish.
I guess so.
Man, I don't know. Tough one.
One more time. What deep sea fish is believed to have the lowest brain to body weight ratio of any vertebrate?
Deep sea, low brain, body. Try to think of what's classified as the deep sea. I'm bad about that stuff.
So this is 3,000 feet closer to us than the top of Mount Everest. So almost the length of Mount Everest down.
Okay.
Is how deep we're talking.
So we ain't talking no catfish.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. No cobia. No snapper. No bluefish.
All right. No schnook.
I'm trying to remember what vertebrate. So you said vertebrate. Mm-hmm. What that refers to exactly.
Having a spine, I believe.
Well, I figured that, but I didn't know if it meant... I mean, I imagine most fish have that, right? Unless they're like a jellyfish, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the question is just out of all of... the animals, this one has the craziest ratio.
Yep, it's basically all meat, no brain.
I was going to say, it could go either way. Yeah, it could go all brain and no body, mm-hmm. or vice versa. So you're saying...
In this case, it's all body, very tiny brain, okay. Very big body, comparatively. The ratio of mass. Yeah.
I almost want to just go with like shrimp, just because, you know.
I don't know if a shrimp is a fish.
No, it's a crustacean.
It's also I'm not just, deep sea. I just want to say coelacanth because it's the only one I know.
What is it?
The coelacanth.
I'm not familiar with that.
Perfect.
You know, I know nothing about this, but I don't like your guess.
Good.
Yeah, let's go with a coelacanth.
It is not the coelacanth. I'm sorry. The correct answer is the bony-eared assfish.
That's right. That's yes, what
the
it
bony-eared
was.
Bony-eared assfish is
I always
the
get those two mixed
for.
Up.
Oh, yeah, me too. No, I always confuse the coelacanth and the bony-eared assfish.
Yeah, it's, I understand. You know, they have very similar names.
Mm-hmm.
The specimen that they found in a study, 40 gram fish with a brain wing less than 30 milligrams. So that is less than 1/1000th of the body weight. I did have the actual ratio here, but at one point, but I did not write it down and now I can't find it. But it is like 1 to 1000s in terms of size. And they live pretty far down. And yeah, they don't need a lot of brain because there's barely anything down there to hurt them. So they just kind of exist. The bony-eared ass fish. That is a translation of their scientific name. Bony-eared apparently refers to the like bony gills that they have.
Yeah.
The armed gills that they have. And ass fish. Well, I guess it's
looks like an asshole. What do we got here?
Acanthos is Greek for prickly, or donkey could mean donkey. So that's where ass fish comes from.
Mm. Oh, okay. It's like the jackass.
Sure.
So there you go. That is the. I don't want to say it's the dumbest fish or vertebrate in the world, but as far as brain size go, it's pretty small.
Good job.
Yeah.
Job, ass fish.
We should have the bony eared ass fish on the podcast sometime.
Yeah,
throw some trivia questions at it. Hey dummy.
Hey, I'm that bony eared ass fish you guys talking about.
I don't know if I could be humiliated though if the bony eared ass fish gets a question right that I don't. That's just too much. Skylar, thanks so much for joining us on another No Nonsense Trivia podcast. And
yes, thank you, Skylar.
And
I look forward to the chains being let loose. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Get it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we look forward to checking out your new specials every week at Death by Taco. If you want to check it out, they have a Facebook page. If you're local in Southwest Florida, you can, of course, order their food. We're going to put a link to their order page in the show notes here. And there will be Grub, your Instagram account. Yeah. Always beautiful food items going up on that. Am I forgetting anything? Is there anything else people should check out?
No, you should probably leave me alone other than that.
No, just go bother Skylar at those places. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways, the easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You can also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform or support us on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, including our quiz daddies, Dylan, Tommy, and Tim, our team captains, Sean, Lydia, Gil.
It's Gil.
Gil.
Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Aaron, and David Holbrook to the third power. Big thanks to our proverbial light keepers, Nicole, Alex, Jenny, Christopher, Logan, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Carly, Chris, Elise, Josh, and Lucas. And thanks to our Rumpelstiltskins, Kevin, Sarah, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C.,
Mike, competitive insulting is called flighting.
Michael S.
Mike Styx is a great band from Chicago.
And Michael J.
Mike, jump up and get down. Don't you think that should have been the theme song to Tyler Perry's House of Pain?
Oh, that would have been a good one. Mm-hmm. I also want to give a special shout out. I have my best friend when I moved to Florida, Jessica. Her daughter started listening to our podcast and apparently like is burning through the episodes. And I tried to warn her, you know, some of this stuff may not be fit for a 17 or, you know, late teenager. But she seems to love what we're doing and to be
episodes. Mark, they either get it or they don't. Either goes over their head or they get it, you know?
I say welcome to the fold. I would have loved this shit as a late teenager.
So from parenting advice.
So to another Elise, thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you. And also want to shout out Eric, who had a brilliant joke in our Facebook group. Somebody said, I second that idea. And Eric said, I, David Holbrook, David Holbrook, David Holbrook it.
Yes, very good.
A work of brilliance on Eric's part there. Yes. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
And we have a Facebook group you can join. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please.
I'm begging you.
Until next time, no nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.